Joining me today are a pair of gentlemen that were requested by you, the listeners. I've been trying to filter in some more guests here this summer and hitting a lot of folks that you guys have requested join the show. There's a couple of fellow 49ers podcasters here with the Fourth and Gold podcast and do some writing as well. WebZone and Pro Football Network, Matt Barr and Javier Vega joining the show. You can find them on Twitter at @MattBarr_ and @JavierVeg_. Actually, I got to start with that. Did you guys come together with the idea of the underscore at the end of your names? Was that a group decision on your part?
Yeah, it was. So I've always had it because I had when I first started my Twitter, I had some stupid name when I was in college. And once I started to get more serious about this stuff, I changed it up to just my name. There's an actor, Matt Barr, out there. He has a Twitter account with the no underscore on there. He's had it for years. He hasn't tweeted for years. He doesn't follow anyone. It's really frustrating. I can't get that handle from him. So Javi just joined me and threw an underscore at the back end so that we're on the same wavelength here.
And also Javier. Yeah. So you have, it's your name's Javier Vega, but you have Javier Veg. You left off the A. Like, you didn't want to go that extra character and throw the A on there and have the full name with the underscore?
Yeah, it wouldn't let me. Twitter said no to adding that A there. So I don't know what happened. I had to go through a whole bunch of combinations. And I'm like, you know what? Let me just do the vague underscore. It worked out perfectly fine. So
there's another Javier Vega out there that has the underscore at the end, too. So don't follow that guy. Follow Javier Veg, VEG. This is what I was hoping to do today, because I'm kind of tired of all the contract conversations and so much of the storyline that involves the 49ers. I've talked about all that stuff. I do a daily podcast. You guys are very active on Twitter, so a lot of the same conversations and some of it starts to become pretty circular in nature. So I want to just look ahead a little bit here and maybe pick some division winners, Super Bowl winners, some season awards, defensive offensive player of the year, MVP, 49ers awards, and some things like that. I think that'll be a fun conversation for today. Are you guys cool with that?
Absolutely. Yeah, jump into it.
All right, cool. So let's just start with the league and the division and the NFC West. Obviously, the 49ers won the league last year, but they were one of the two worst teams in the league. Luckily, the worst team in the league in 2018 was the Arizona Cardinals. So the 49ers weren't in last place, but they made a huge jump in 2019, won the division. So much can change year to year. Do you guys pick the 49ers to win again in 2020? Or is there a team out there that you think has a really good shot to beat the 49ers this year? Maybe if the 49ers will have trouble maintaining all the success they had in 2020. Matt, we'll start with you. What do you think? NFC West champs in 2020?
It's the 49ers again, prediction. The only team that I really see as a threat to the 49ers, and we say this all the time, that is if Russell Wilson is on the field, the Seattle Seahawks have a chance. Yeah, it's just the way it goes for them. And I really think that they are the biggest threat to the 49ers in the West. I think Arizona is still a year off. I think their offensive line is still a little bit in shambles. They don't quite have their defense all the way figured out just yet. I think the Rams have just, they went Super Bowl or bust, and they busted hard. So right now I think it's the 49ers, Seahawks, Cardinals, Rams in that order.
You got the Rams in the cellar. So you think that Stars and Scrubs thing that they were trying to build is just completely collapsed?
Yeah, and you can't do that just because when you can have the Stars and Scrubs, but also you need to have key role players. And now you've started to see their key role players step up and play better. They went from Scrubs to key role players, and then they left. And when you can't replace those guys and you lose guys like Todd Gurley, who I know is kind of trending downward anyway, their offensive line is getting old. It's a mess. It's a mess in LA right now, and they are going to have to blow it up because I don't know why they gave Jared Goff that contract and just set them all the way back with their trades as well, and just no draft picks. So they're in a tough spot right now.
So Jimmy G's contract isn't top 10 in the NFL anymore. It was knocked off multiple times. It was the top contract in the league when he signed it in 2018. But it's still, you know, a nice chunk of change that he makes, and the 49ers have given some other players some money. They have a lot of players they have to give money very soon. The 49ers decided to spend their two first-round draft picks to replace two players that they let walk at defensive tackle and wide receiver. Do you worry that the 49ers are maybe a little bit too win now mode and are potentially walking that thin line that could go in that Rams direction and spending too much money on too few player contracts?
No, I think not spending the money on Emmanuel Sanders and not spending the money on DeForest Buckner and saving that money by drafting the replacements or potential replacements with Ayuk and Kinlaw kind of sets them up for success down the road. I think we'll see some some cap casualties in the next couple of years. You know, two guys that come to mind, Quan Alexander and Dee Ford, would be the biggest guys that I would think would not be on this roster in 2021 to allow them to keep guys like Kittle, Fred Warner, Mike McGlinchey is also coming due, and then potentially Trent Williams. So you got to keep some of those guys there. They didn't go all in like the Rams, where they go and trade two first round picks for Jalen Ramsey when they were, you know, realistically a 9-7, 8-8 team last year. And I know they finished 9-7, but they didn't play up to the talent that they had on their defense or offense. And like Matt said, their offensive line is in shambles. At least the Niners have kind of built this roster. In my personal opinion, they built it the correct way through the draft, through smart free agent acquisitions. Yes, they may have overpaid for Jet McKinnon, Quan, Richburg, and Dee Ford, but they have outs in these contracts coming up to allow them to have that flexibility going forward. And I think they've also learned from their first draft, you know, to take better character guys a little bit more upside. You know, you've seen that with Kimmel and Ayuk. Those guys seem to have higher upside than the other guys they may have drafted in the first one. So they've kind of corrected some of their mistakes. And Kyle Shanahan at the helm, I think they're just fine.
So with that, Javier, do you have the 49ers winning the West as well?
Yeah. Then the biggest threat, you know, I agree. If Russell Wilson is walking and breathing, that's just the guy who's just going to give you a headache no matter who he has around him. I think, you know, my personal opinion, he's still the best quarterback in football. So it's going to be the Niners, Seattle. I don't think the Rams are going to fall all into the cellar yet. And I would go Rams and Cardinals at the bottom there. Cardinals still have a lot of question marks on their offensive line. And, you know, with this COVID offseason, they did have a lot of additions. So I don't know how their continuity is going to be going into the season. That's the kind of a question mark for me with the Cardinals.
Yeah, it's so tough. I got to go 49ers too. Clean sweep here for the Niners winning the NFC West. It's tough though, because this division is the best in football. I think it's not close, and they're going to beat up on each other quite a bit. And the Cardinals are were the floor last year, and they have been the floor, but they're on the rise. And I don't think that's crazy to think that they're not going to be in last, and they might be in competition for first place. I think the worst roster is the Seattle Seahawks, but like you said, they have the best quarterback in the league, and that Russell Wilson, Pete Carroll combination just doesn't lose. And they stick around no matter how poorly they draft or how much their roster has fallen off from their heyday. So, I mean, I could see really almost any order for this division, because they're all good enough teams to make the playoffs, I think. And I think the Cardinals will prove that they're in that category as well in 2020. This is the year that people are going to be like, you know, instead of just an annoying team to play against, they're going to be a team that's like, man, I don't want to see the Cardinals on my schedule. Just like they already don't want to see the 49ers, I'm sure, on their schedule. So it's going to be a very interesting division, but Niners are the champs. You got to knock them off. And I think right now they still have the best shot at winning the West. Okay, with that, 49ers win the West. Who do you like winning the AFC and NFC? Who are your Super Bowl teams this year? Matt, let's go back to you.
All right, I'm going to be boring. I'm going to be completely boring here, and I think it's a repeat.
I think
we're going to see another 49ers Chiefs Super Bowl. Javi touched on it. We said the COVID offseason, right? The Chiefs are returning the number one number of snaps. The 49ers are returning the number four number of snaps from last year. Continuity is going to be huge. Andy Reid, Kyle Shanahan, big time coaches know how to put this team, their teams in the right place to win mentally and with their play calling and with how they handle the team. The Chiefs, I think they're such a strong team. And even though Mahomes signed that mega deal, he's still playing on a very discount deal right now for the next 2 years. They're going to be able to just work through that. And they got somebody we're going to talk about a little bit later for me. A guy just missed my offensive rookie of the year and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I think he's the missing piece for that team. And I know, Brian, I know you're way down on running backs. I'm usually way down on running backs. But when you win the Super Bowl and you don't lose players like they did, you get to take luxury picks. And a luxury pick like Clyde Edwards-Helaire to that Chiefs offense could be their missing piece to somehow make them better.
Yeah, the Chiefs are scary. And I'm not big on running backs. I think they could have got value elsewhere at running back. But that doesn't mean he's not going to be impactful for their team, and he's not going to be a great fantasy football player for teams. And it's scary because, yeah, the Chiefs didn't lose much or anything at all and might have gotten better from their championship roster. And, oh, yeah, Patrick Mahomes missed a couple games last year. He's going to be 100% mm-hmm. healthy coming into the year. And if he stays healthy all year, I mean, that's going to be a tough team to beat. So no problems if someone says the Chiefs is the best team in the NFL, and they proved it last year and hoisted the Lombardi. Javier, who you got in the Super Bowl?
I can't count out the Patriots, and I think this Cam Newton thing is going to work out. That's one guy I don't want to bet against is Cam Newton. I think Cam Newton and the Patriots have a shot here. I'm not sold on the Jets or the Dolphins or the Bills, to be quite honest. So I think the Patriots can come out of the AFC, give Andy Reid a run for his money. That defense is still pretty good, and then adding a dynamic player like Cam Newton with Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels can be pretty dangerous. They haven't had a quarterback that can run. Tom Brady is a statue, and I think that's intriguing for Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels. If I remember correctly, they were rather high on Lamar Jackson, that type of quarterback. So Cam Newton being in New England is something to watch. And then the NFC, it's the best roster in football, in my opinion, is in San Francisco. All the way through. So I can see the Niners making it all the way back there. That's kind of a homer pick, but I just don't trust the Packers. I don't trust the Vikings. The Cowboys have a lot of question marks. The Saints, can Drew Brees, he kind of slows down towards the end of the year. The Eagles, can Carson Wentz stay healthy? And then Seattle, they win in spite of Pete Carroll, but they also lose because of Pete Carroll. So I have a whole bunch of questions around the NFC. So. Niners and Patriots. Right. Jimmy Garoppolo beats Bill Belichick for a title.
Wow.
And Bill Belichick mourns the trade from 3 years ago.
Wow. I like that a lot. And Matt, I think I missed it. Do you have the 49ers losing a second time in a row to the Chiefs?
I don't. I have them getting over the hump on this one. And I completely agree with Javi. I think the NFC is very, very top heavy right now. Yeah. I think the way the 49ers match up with the NFC teams, I think it's an easy win for them. Not an easy win, but I think they match up very, very well with the other top-heavy NFC teams. I do have the 49ers winning the Super Bowl because I'm just going to go completely homer pick at this point. I don't know if we're going to get a season, so if we're not, whatever it is, I'm going completely homer pick. I'm taking the Niners to win just because, Javi said, they have the best roster in football.
Wow, complete homers joining me on the program today, folks. I'm going to go with – that's fair. They were in the Super Bowl last year. They're a really good football team, one of the best teams in the NFL easily. The roster, I think, is the best in the NFL. The cleanest from top to bottom, every position group has really good players, is the New Orleans Saints. And as good as they were last year, I think they underachieved when they got into the playoffs. I'm going to pick the Saints over the Ravens just because I want to throw a different AFC team in there. But, man, the Chiefs are very scary. But I'm going to go with the Baltimore Ravens. And I think they can get a lot better than they were even last year, and they're already so good. So, Saints over Ravens for me this year. That'll be my prediction. All right, so coming up, we've got offensive, defensive players of the year, and we'll go through the 49ers team awards as well. Coming up, Locked On 49ers. All right, let's look at the league awards first, then we'll check in on the 49ers team awards. We'll go MVP, offensive, defensive players of the year, rookies of the year, and maybe some underrated players to look out for on the 49ers roster. But let's start with the league and go league MVP. I've been starting with you, Matt. Let's flip it. Javier, you first. Your league MVP in 2020.
Kyler Murray. I don't think you believe it.
You had a hard time getting that name out of your mouth. I'm not sure you're even believing yourself there.
I picked the Cardinals to finish last in the division, but I think Kyler can still have a good year and be an MVP candidate. We saw a lot from him last year. I know the turnovers were a question mark, but I think he can lower that number down and be a very dynamic passer. And, his running ability, gives him another value there as a potential MVP candidate. I think I like it. And, most times MVPs don't win Super Bowls. So perfect. The Cardinals won't win the Super Bowl because Kyler Murray is the MVP. So yeah, I'll go with Kyler Murray.
So that would be the third time in a row, second year quarterback makes the leap and becomes league MVP after Mahomes and Lamar Jackson and then Kyler Murray. And I can totally see that one. That would be tough for a guy to win league MVP on a last place team though. So
yeah.
Matt, what do you think?
Yeah. So when it comes to MVP voting, if you're a quarterback, they love touchdowns and they love wins. And for me, I just have a hard time betting against Patrick Mahomes right now. I think he's just such a dynamic player. Like I mentioned with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, that offense just becomes even more well-rounded. I think he wins the MVP. That's why the 49ers do win the Super Bowl, is because MVPs do not win the Super Bowl. The last one to do was Kurt Warner for the St. Louis Rams. 20 years ago now is the last time MVP won the Super Bowl. So I have Mahomes coming back, bouncing back. I think he would have pushed Lamar Jackson for it last year had he not missed a couple games. It's just once the guy's on the field, he's just a walking fantasy football machine. And it seems like fantasy football more and more drives the MVP vote.
Okay, so I have a different offensive player of the year than an MVP. If you guys too do too, we'll do a separate offensive players of the year. My MVP is also Patrick Mahomes. He didn't win it last year. And at this point with the big contract, and sometimes it's a popularity contest, and with the numbers he'll probably put up, all he has to do is have, you know, a pretty good, whatever you would expect season from Patrick Mahomes at this point in his career. And he'll probably win MVP unless somebody goes absolutely ballistic, especially if the Chiefs are good, which I expect them to be. So I'm going to go Patrick Mahomes with my league MVP as well. That brings us to offensive player of the year. Javier, what do you think?
I'm going to go with Lamar Jackson. It's just his ability to score touchdowns on the ground and through the air. That offense works perfectly for him. You know, he's a Madden player. He just hits you with a spin move. He's gone for 80 yards. It's Lamar offensive player of the year. I think he's only going to get better from last season. I think I'd like to see a little bit better passing from Lamar, but as an offensive player, he's just a weapon. You never know what you're going to get from him. I mean, we saw him last year against the Niners. He can just take over games when he needs to, and I think he has a good shot at being the offensive player of the year next year or this coming season.
Good choice. Good choice. Matt, what do you think? Offensive player of the year?
Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley. I think he is just such an incredible player. And I think when I was talking about, you get quarterback wins for MVP, I think offensive player of the year, they take a little bit of a step back and they look at, all right, who is actually the best offensive player? Who makes the biggest impact for their team? I don't think Daniel Jones is great. I think he makes a little bit of a leap in his development, and he's just not as much of a turnover machine. I still think they're going to rely on Saquon Barkley. And I could see, you know, with the defenses the Giants get to play this year, they're not top tier. When especially they get to play the NFC West, and it's just San Francisco's the best defense they're going to play all year. Can Saquon Barkley push 2,000 yards this year? And I think if he's healthy, he can. And I think anytime a running back gets close to 2,000 yards, it's not a shoe-in for offensive player of the year, but it really brings their name into the conversation. That's why I'm going with Saquon.
That's a good one, Saquon Barkley. A healthy Saquon Barkley could really put up some massive numbers in New York this year. I wanted to put Jimmy Garoppolo in as offensive player of the year because I think he's going to shock some people with how much better he even was than last year, and I think he was really good last year. So that's a reason to be excited about the 49ers is what Garoppolo can be, and a rising tide lifts all boats. But I'm actually going to go dark horse offensive player of the year. Last year, it was a wide receiver, the guy who led the league in receptions, in Michael Thomas. I think the guy who leads the league in receptions this year, all he needs is just that little bump in quarterback play. He's had the worst quarterback play in the history of NFL receivers with the numbers he's put up, dating back to Christian Hackenberg in college, then Blake Bortles and Mitch Trubisky. I'm talking about Allen Robinson of the Chicago Bears. Dark horse pick for offensive player of the year. I think he's going to lead the league in receptions with Nick Foles.
I'm glad you added the Nick Foles thing there, because yeah. Nick Foles throw left. Mitch Trubisky cannot. So, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Man, that was a big miss for me, Mitch Trubisky. I liked Mitch Trubisky coming out, and he has not developed.
No, he has not.
Very disappointing.
It makes me happy because the trade-up makes it even better.
Yes, yeah, the fact that the 49ers had no shot to take him, yeah, that makes it all the better for sure. Okay, let's go defensive player of the year. Javier.
TJ Watt.
Oh, TJ Watt, I like it.
I believe he had some votes last year, and I thought he played on a bad Steelers team, but he was everywhere for that Steelers team last season. We saw him against the Niners as well, and he'll get after it. You know, he plays well in coverage. He plays against the run well. I think he had 15 and a half sacks last year, close to that. And I think TJ Watt can make a real strong push for the defensive player of the year. I don't know how many more times you can give it to Aaron Donald. I think TJ Watt is a deserving player for that award.
I think that happens with voters. You don't want to keep voting for the same guy every single year, which I think is one of the reasons why Mahomes has to be the overwhelming favorite, because he didn't win it last year. So it's like, mm-hmm. okay, we're not going to give it to him 3 years in a row now. He didn't win it last year, so we can give it to Mahomes again. TJ Watt, that's a good one. I did not have that on my radar, but that's an absolutely great pick. Matt, who you got? Defensive player of the year in 2020.
I'm going to go with the other edge player. That's the most complete edge player in the league, and that's Nick Bosa.
Oh, okay.
I think he was in the conversation for it last year. I think his numbers just didn't quite hit. The sack numbers didn't quite hit there. Mm. So, but when you look at what he can do, he's an every down player. He gets after the quarterback. His pressure rate is insane. He's so athletic. You can watch it. When you watch film and you go back, you don't really notice it when you're watching it live. But Nick Bosa is making tackles 20 yards downfield. Once they go away from him, it doesn't matter. His motor never stops. And he's just such a dynamic player on that defensive line. He's surrounded by so much talent. I think we're going to see a giant leap in his sack numbers. And because of that, he's going to put himself in the conversation. And defensive player of the year, again, I think comes from one of the more successful defenses all around. Pittsburgh has a very, very, very solid defense. And I think that TJ Watt was a good choice by Javi. But again, you know, let's keep it a little bit homerish. And I'm going to stick with Nick Bosa.
I'm going to go with that pick as well. Nick Bosa, it's going to be one of the Bosa brothers. I would put money on that in Vegas, and I don't know which Bosa is going to have the best year, but I'm going to go with Nick Bosa as well, and it wouldn't surprise me. And look, last year he was a rookie, so he wasn't really going to be considered for the award, but he's not a rookie anymore. If he puts up, he's got to get that double-digit sack threshold, so he mm-hmm. needs, you know, just one more sack, or maybe if he puts together a season that's closer to 15 sacks or something like that, which is totally possible for Bosa, and he gets even better than what we saw already playing at an elite level as a rookie. I like Nick Bosa for defensive player of the year as well. Let's go to rookie of the year. Matt, offensive and defensive rookies of the year, who you got in the NFL?
Offensive rookie of the year. Actually, both my picks are going to teams that had pretty stacked position groups already for them to join. So offensive rookie of the year, I'm going to go with CeeDee Lamb. Wide receiver on the Cowboys. I think him going with Gallup and Amari Cooper puts him in good company, and teams just can't focus on him. Dak Prescott falls into the Jimmy Garoppolo category for me. He's not as good as people that love him think he is, and he's not nearly as bad as his haters think. Mm-hmm. So I think that if he can get his share of the passes, I think CeeDee Lamb can put together a lot of touchdowns, which again is what voters love. They love touchdowns. And on the opposite end, they love sacks, and Chase Young joins a very talented defensive line in Washington. I think he can put up similar numbers to what Nick Bosa did last year. I got Chase Young and CeeDee Lamb as my rookies of the year.
I like it. I did not pick CeeDee Lamb, but he was probably my number two choice for my offensive rookie of the year. Javier, what do you like, offensive, defensive rookies of the year?
Offensive rookie of the year, I'm going to keep it Homer. Brandon Ayuk. He's a sleeper in a lot of people's eyes to be a rookie of the year candidate. But I think with Debo's injury and him not potentially playing the first couple weeks of the season, Ayuk has the ability to get to, we talked about it last night on our pod, Ayuk getting over 1,000 yards in total offense and hopefully maybe 1,000 yards receiving. Kyle Shanahan, in my eyes, got his version of Odell Beckham in Brandon Ayuk, and Ayuk could be a rookie of the year candidate. I think he has everything that Kyle Shanahan wants, and you know, Kyle Shanahan with extra time to focus on play calling and ways to scheme his guys open, Ayuk should have a really good year. Of course, Ayuk has to, you know, master the playbook or, you know, kind of get whatever packages that Kyle has set up for him down. And then on defensive side, I got to agree with Matt here. Chase Young. Chase Young is a freak. I thought rewatching some of his stuff, I thought he might have been better than Nick Bosa coming out. So we'll see how he does there. But again, can the Redskins put it together too on defense? That's a lot of talent there. So hopefully he can, you know, what's the word? Capitalize on the guys around him to, you know, get close to double digit sacks and a real high pressure number, QB hits, you know, in the 20s, somewhere around there. So yeah, I think Brandon Ayuk and Chase Young would be my two selections.
I'm going Chase Young as well for defensive rookie of the year. It's really hard because statistically to put up enough numbers, it's not going to be one of the top defensive backs in this class. So, you know, someone like Jeffrey Okuda. It'll be hard for him to win that award just because defensive backs don't put up stats. And, you know, the fact that Chase Young was drafted so high, if he just puts up a pretty good season, I think it's just going to be so much easier for him to win that award. And then looking at the rest of the defensive class, which it wasn't super strong, you know, you'd have to look at someone like maybe Patrick Queen in Baltimore. It can, you know, for a really good team, could put together a good season with a bunch of tackles and put up some numbers and, you know, be on a playoff team that they get some notoriety there. But it's really hard to not pick Chase Young for Defensive Rookie of the Year in 2020. My Offensive Rookie of the Year, it was really three candidates. You mentioned CeeDee Lamb, who was right there, along with Clyde Edwards-Helaire are the guys I was thinking about, but I'm going with Jerry Jeudy. He was my shadow 49ers pick at number 14 when the Niners were on the clock. I think he's ready, a plug-and-play guy. I think he's going to get open, make a lot of catches for Denver in year one. So I'm going with Jerry Jeudy as my Offensive Rookie of the Year in 2020.
What do you think of Kenneth Murray, the kid from Oklahoma, as an Defensive Rookie of the Year candidate?
Yeah, there was something missing, like height, weight, speed, everything's there, but there was something missing instincts wise. And I think it was that height, weight, speed that got him drafted before Patrick Queen. But when I watched him both, the more I watched him, the more Patrick Queen was clearly the better player to me, even though he's a little bit undersized. He didn't play as much college football as Kenneth Murray did. Maybe there's something I'm missing with Kenneth Murray, and he's got a really great shot with the Chargers to be a really good player. And we'll see, but it was really clear to me that Patrick Queen was a better player. I don't know. That's what I saw. I just looked like a more instinctive guy, and he's really built to play a modern linebacker role. I don't know if the coverage is going to be there for Kenneth Murray.
Yeah, I think the Murray thing, I think just what's around him can help him out there. That's why I asked. I was just curious.
No, that's a good point. What's around you is really important. Your landing spot as a young NFL player is so important. It takes a village to raise a prospect, especially a quarterback. You know, some of those more instinctive positions, running back and linebacker, it can be a little bit more built into what you're going to be, but it definitely takes a village, and where your landing spot is really important for NFL rookies. Okay, with that, let's talk about the 49ers rookies next. Talk about who the team MVPs, team players of the year will be. Matt Barr, Javier Vega joining me here on Locked On 49ers. 49ers awards. I think people know where we're going to go with some of these. I'm actually going to hedge on one of mine and not pick the one that people are probably expecting me to pick. Let's start with team MVP. Matt, what do you got? 49ers team MVP 2020.
It's the best player on the team. It's George Kittle. Yep. It's the man that's about to get paid. I'm still waiting for them to announce his 10-year extension. Like Patrick Mahomes got one, so I'm still waiting for that to come through. No, I really think it is George Kittle. He's the go-to guy on third down. He's your best. I mean, he's the best run blocker they have on the team. It doesn't matter what position he plays. He's the best run blocker they got. He does a little bit of everything for the team. We cover it all the time. We saw what happened when he went out for a couple games last year and how the offense just slowed down and wasn't the same. He most valuable player to me. He might not put up the biggest numbers because he now has a lot more competition to catch football. But when it comes to the value that he brings to the team, George Kittle is my guy.
That's a good one. Yeah. You can't argue with that one, Javier. What do you think?
I'm going with quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo. We see what this team looks like when he's off the field or not, you know, if he's injured or just not on this team in general. Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, makes his team go. I know there's a lot of question marks around him. I know I've had mine. But if he can lower the turnovers, especially the fumbles and the dumb Jimmy throw per game, Jimmy Garoppolo could, you know, see a 4,000-yard season, close to 30 touchdowns, and hopefully get those turnovers into single digits, and he could be the MVP of this team. And I the more I watch, the more I like of Jimmy Garoppolo as well now. He's in his third year on this team as far as learning the playbook. Kyle Shanahan seems very excited about that. So I think Jimmy Garoppolo could be the MVP of the 49ers team this year.
I like it too. He's not the best player on the team, but he's my MVP in 2020. I talked about how he's going to get better. Jimmy Garoppolo, I think if he leads the 49ers to another playoff run, I think people will realize how good of a quarterback he is. And I think he'll be even better than he was last year. Spread the ball around to George Kittle. Hopefully Debo Samuel comes back and plays a big role on this team. And you'll see some balls being spread around to the running backs, tight ends, wide receivers, and Jimmy Garoppolo, team MVP for me. My offensive player of the year, I'll start with this one, is George Kittle. So it was going to be one of those players, right, for offensive player of the year. And there are some dark horse candidates there for offensive player of the year. I'll wait on some of those, but I'm curious to see what you guys think about the offensive side of the ball, aside from your MVP, Matt, what do you think? Offensive player of the year for the 49ers, you've got George Kittle as your team MVP.
I did have George Kittle as my team MVP. For full disclosure, had Debo not gotten injured, Debo would have been my pick here. Mm-hmm. I think he was primed for a huge breakout year. I think he's going to put up monster numbers. But I'm going with the newest 49er on the offensive line, and my offensive player of the year is going to be Trent Williams.
Good one.
Kyle Shanahan has so much experience with this guy. He's come back. He's ready to go. He's hungry to play again. Washington completely bungled that situation. I mean, I don't know what they were doing. My wife is a Redskins fan. I grew up in DC area. I know how dysfunctional that franchise is. I can't understand how they let a talent like him go for a fifth and a future third. Trent Williams fits this offense. Kyle Shanahan knows exactly how to work around him. He's going to come in and be a mauler. It's incredible to think that on draft day, Joe Staley retires and they somehow get better on the offensive line because they get Trent Williams.
Yeah.
So Trent Williams is my offensive player of the year.
And another year for Mike McGlinchey. Better offensive line play means Jimmy Garoppolo will do better things as well. More protection, maybe have a little bit more time to get the ball down the field a little bit more. Javier, offensive player of the year.
The offensive player of the year, I'm going with a dark horse guy, another offensive weapon. As long as he's healthy, Jalen Hurd has the potential to be a guy that Kyle can use in a number of different ways in the slot, out wide, in the backfield, blocking, line him up next to George Kittle. The possibilities are endless with Jalen Hurd. I think Jalen Hurd, as long as he's healthy, we talked about it last night on our own pod, you know, a guy can get 800 yards, 6 touchdowns. I think he has that in him, and I would go with Jalen Hurd here as a sleeper, dark horse offensive player of the year.
That's a great sleeper offensive player of the year pick. I like that a lot. When you said OW, I thought you were going to say Kyle Juszczyk, which some people would argue is the best weapon on the 49ers offense. There was a dark horse that I was thinking about, and I mean, it's hard with Jimmy Garoppolo and George Kittle to make a choice for anybody else, but I'm glad you went off the radar with Jalen Hurd. And I was thinking about Raheem Mostert, because what he could do if he's anywhere near his career averages and he gets something like 200 carries, he'll lead the league in rushing, and he could absolutely be that guy. We've seen Kittle get banged up a lot. You know, Debo's already banged up. So if it's not Jimmy Garoppolo, I think Raheem Mostert would be somebody that could have just a monster year, although it could be another committee season and, you know, he doesn't start any games and and we'll see what that running back usage looks like for Kyle Shanahan. But I would not be shocked at all if Mostert went absolutely nuts yardage-wise this season.
Kyle Shanahan cares nothing for your fantasy teams.
Oh, yeah, so. No, he doesn't. That's his goal, is to screw up who you started on your fantasy roster. It's been the Shanahan goal since his father. Let's go to defensive player of the year for the 49ers. Javier, what do you think?
My favorite player on the 49ers defense, Fred Warner. Fred Warner, I think, in coverage can get better. I think he's a great run defender. I think he's just only getting better. He's a very smart linebacker. We've seen Niners fans have been blessed to have good linebacker play, at least pretty much my entire fanhood, you know, and most recently with Bowman and Willis. Now you have a really good combination of Greenlaw and Warner and Kwan. But I think Fred Warner can make the jump to an all pro status. And I think he has a monster year, you know, 3 pick sixes, you know, a guy, he's fully capable of doing that.
You stole my thunder. That was going to be my, that is my defensive player of the year too, is Fred Warner. I'm kind of hedging there because I had defensive player of the year in the NFL being Nick Bosa. But if it's not Bosa, I could see Warner finally, you know, being that guy that gets a ton of credit nationally because he hasn't really gotten that yet. And what he can do in coverage, fly around the field, make a bunch of tackles. They've got some beef inside to help him be free and range around and make plays all over the field. So I like that call. That was mine as well.
He's so good.
Fred Warner, one of the most underrated players, I think, in the NFL right now. Matt, what do you think? Defensive player of the year for the 49ers?
So yeah, it was one of two guys. It was either Fred Warner or it's Nick Bosa. And I, as good as the rest of the defense is, I mean, those are the two. Those are the two best players at their individual positions. I think Nick Bosa is the best all around defensive end. I think linebacker, when it comes to being a 3-down linebacker, I think Fred Warner is the best in the league at that. I'm gonna stick with my defensive player of the year pick. I'm going Bosa. Monster sack numbers. Another year along a great defensive line. Just Yeah, I'm just sticking with my previous pick.
No, that makes total sense. We'll stay with you then, Matt, for 49ers rookies of the year. Are you just going to go with the first round picks, or are you going to go off the radar here? This is not a big rookie class for the 49ers, although when you start counting undrafted free agents, that'd be a little ballsy picking an undrafted free agent as your rookie of the year pick.
I have a lot of undrafted free agents that I actually really, really like. But when it comes to the defense, I think Javon Kinlaw is every bit what they want him to be. I really think he has that drive to play. And again, he's joining an already stacked group. I think that Javon Kinlaw is going to come in and be everything they want him to be. He's not going to be DeForest Buckner right out of the gate, because it took even Buck a little bit of time to get there. But I think he's joining a much more talented group than Buck did. Javon Kinlaw on the defensive side of the ball. And running back by committee, he gets a lot of yards to Michael Hasty. Undrafted free agent. I love it. So undrafted, I am going to go an undrafted free agent here just to shake things up.
Damn it, Matt.
Ayuk is the easy pick. Ayuk is the easy pick, but I really like Hasty, and I think he's this year's Matt Breida who makes the team and really makes an impact year one.
Javier, it sounds like he might have stolen your thunder there.
He did, because he knows how much I like Hasty, and I like Savon Ahmed out of Washington. Yeah, I think Kyle and John Lynch in the front office have just found a formula here to find undrafted free agent running backs and kind of cycle them through. So, but 49ers rookie of the year, I'm going to go with, you know, rookie of the year for the league, and that's Brandon Ayuk. I think what Kyle Shanahan can put together, and then, you know, if Jimmy Garoppolo has a monster year, it's going to be because Brandon Ayuk picks up this offense and does big things. So I think they go together. So Brandon Ayuk would be my guy for the 49ers rookie of the year. And sleeper, I think Colton McKivitz has an opportunity to play right guard. I think we might see him at some point in the year play right guard. So that might be a sleeper rookie of the year candidate. Just somebody who is valuable the way Brunskill was last year, you know, to the team.
Yeah, exactly. One thing is, I wish I knew who was going to be returning kicks, because I think that will really help someone like either one of the undrafted players or Brandon Ayuk, if he's returning kicks, to get on the field early, because I don't know if he's going to have a big role early on. And I think the ball is going to be spread around to the wide receivers. So it's hard to say that Ayuk or one of the undrafted receivers or the seventh round pick, Juwan Jennings, would be rookie of the year, because I don't know if any of them are going to get enough targets. So my pick for offensive rookie of the year was Colton McKivitz. And I don't know if there's a path for him necessarily to start right away, but all it takes is one injury and he could jump in there, play right tackle. He could play right guard. And who knows, maybe he could win that right guard job out of training camp. And it sounds like the 49ers loved him and they would have taken him earlier in the fourth round if they didn't trade that pick. And he got that gold helmet rating from the team. So he's a player that they really liked, and he's played a lot of football. So he's someone that should be able to play early in his career. So I'll go with Colton McKivitz there. And I'll avoid the first round wide receiver, but I am going to stay in the first round with Javon Kinlaw, just because, I mean, playing time, he's got the opportunity to get in there, play from snap one in the NFL, and he's a monster. And I think he's going to have some highlight plays. He's not going to play as many snaps and be as consistent as DeForest Buckner was, but he's going to have some highlight plays where he puts some grown men on their rear ends. So that's going to be fun watching Javon Kinlaw do. I have one more category here, and this is underrated 49ers, because some of these names are somewhat obvious, although you made some good arguments for some players, and we've had some dark horses and some sleepers here. Do you have any underrated 49ers, any dark horse 49ers, anybody you just want to give props to on the roster currently? Matt, we'll start with you.
K'Juan Williams. I think K'Juan Williams is one of the best slot corners in the NFL right now. I absolutely love the way he plays. He's a terror coming off the edge in the blitz. He's as a nose for the football. He intercepts the ball. He causes fumbles. He just has a knack of being around the play. And now with DJ Reed's torn pectoral muscle, we know that they're going to rely on him. There's no off snaps for K'Juan Williams down the slot. He's going to have to be the guy. And I think he's in a contract year. I think he's set up for a massive year this year.
K'Juan Williams, that's a good one. He does not get enough credit around the league. And slot corners are starters. He's a starting player for the 49ers defense in my book. Javier, who do you got? Underrated 49er.
I think if healthy, Julian Taylor deserves some recognition. What he did last year in limited snaps off the bench, you saw his impact. You know, I'm not a I don't want to hate on Solomon Thomas, but you know, you would sub Julian and Taylor in for Solomon, and you'd saw the difference in the defensive line, what it would look like. So I think Julian Taylor, if he's fully recovered from that ACL tear, has an opportunity to be a big factor.
Well, we lost Javier. I wonder what his Javier, can you hear us? His picture's frozen too.
Oh yeah, it sure is.
I think maybe one of his children woke up from their nap and unplugged his internet. Dad life. Javier living right. The dad life. I know how that is. We didn't get to hear the rest of it, but Julian Taylor is a good pick. That's another dark horse player in limited snaps, a player that's been really impressive. Man, I would love to see a full complement of snaps for him. That would really solidify the interior of the defensive line, because rundowns right now, it's DJ Jones, it's Kinlaw, and I don't know who would be the next guy up there. There's Kevin Givens, there's a number of players, but I think Julian Taylor is the one the 49ers would hope would be that guy. Similarly, on the edge, I think a key reserve, hopefully comes back from his ACL strong, is Ronald Blair, who's not gotten enough love throughout the years. But I will say, it's tough. There's a lot of them. We've talked about some of them. There's so many underrated players on the 49ers because there's some marquee names that get a lot of the credit. But I think Jaquaski Tartt's the one. He's been a longtime starter in this league. People are trying to spend a first rounder plus and $17 million a year to get a player who I love, another shadow 49er I talked about earlier, in Jamal Adams. I love Jamal Adams, but Jaquaski Tartt's a really good player, and he's not a player that you just cast aside. So I think the player that's disrespected most, and I'll put it the way that Richard Sherman put it, Jaquaski Tartt. That's my pick for underrated 49er. All right. Do we have Javier? Are you back?
Yeah, I'm here. I don't know what happened, but
you made a good case. You made a good case for Julian Taylor. I think everyone is on board with that. You made a heartfelt plea for him to be rated more properly. And I can't wait to see him more on the field. I think he has a chance to get a lot of run for the 49ers this year, if healthy. Good stuff, guys. That was a fun episode. If you don't like their picks, you can find Matt and Javier on Twitter. They are always fired up about the 49ers at @MattBarr_, @JavierVeg_. Thanks for jumping on the show today, fellas.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Brian.
And be back tomorrow with Nick Winkler, another Winky Wednesday right here, Locked On 49ers.